And before that, we'll try to preach a message to you about the smitten rock. How it's a picture of our Savior's body and what took place there. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to read several passages about the Lord's Supper tonight. And then we're going to go to the Old Testament, illustration of the Old Testament, about the smitten rock, how that's a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look here, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's begin reading in verse 23 together. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." Here the Apostle Paul's preaching and speaking to the Corinthian church. And he says, "I want to tell you something," in verse 23. "That Lord Jesus, this same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" So tonight, my friend, we're going to have a remembrance of Christ. And we shouldn't just have one day a month or one day every 3 months where we remember what Christ has done for us. We should remember every day we wake up. And I remember every day I wake up and look in the mirror to shave or to brush my teeth or to comb my hair. I remember what Christ has done for me, that he saved my unworthy soul, that he gave me a church to go to learn of God's word. He gave me a wonderful family, my friend, to be a part of. And he's given me a place to go to one day called heaven. The Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." We're remembering Christ tonight. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 24. And the Bible says that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He took that bread. He took that bread, my friend. I believe he held it up and gave thanks to God for the bread. And the bread represented his body. And he took that bread and said, "Jesus, I know this bread represents my body." He blessed it. He asked God to put his blessings upon his body. And then he took that bread and he broke it into pieces. And he took that unleavened bread and gave it out to his people, his disciples. And they took that piece of bread and put it in their mouth and chewed it up, representing his broken body. How we, my friend, us that are saved by God's grace, we had a part in breaking the body of Jesus. And we know the prophecy was fulfilled. No bones in his body was broken. No bones in Jesus' body was broken, but yet his body was broken for me and you. Look here, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26. Notice what it says here. We'll be turning to several verses in our Bible tonight. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 26. If you will, try to find that quickly for me. Apostle Paul's talking about the broken body of Jesus. The Bible says that same night he held that bread up and broke it and blessed it and gave it to his disciples. Notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Notice what Christ did here. The Bible says in verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Tonight we have unleavened bread. Leaven in the New Testament is mentioned 17 times. Out of those 17 times, 15 times is related with evil, related with sin. And so we can assume that those other two times is also related with sin. And here Christ said this bread is unleavened. He said there's no sin in the body of Jesus. My friend, he became man without ceasing to be God. He became every bit man. He hungered and he thirsted. He got weary. He got tired. He got disappointed, my friend. He suffered the same way we suffer, but yet without sin. He had a body like man, but yet he still was God. I don't know how to explain that to you. I don't know how to explain one person was every bit man, but yet every bit God. But our Savior was. He was birthed from above. He come out of mother's womb. He come out of his Mary's. He come out of his mother's womb, my friend, a perfect child. He come out the Son of God. He come out the Lamb of God. He come out to be our Savior. And here the Bible says that he took this bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." What do we have in the broken body of Jesus? I want you to notice his body. Now turn, if you would, in the book of Psalms. Try to find that for me, if you will. Psalms 105. Psalms 105. And I want to give you plenty of time tonight to turn to these portions and passages of Scripture. I want you to relate the body of Christ tonight. Notice what it says here, if you would, about the body of Christ. And you keep your place there because we'll turn back there in just a few minutes. In Psalms 105, notice what the Bible says here. In 105, look at verse 38. The Bible says, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell among them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. I like that expression, light in the night. And that's what we have right now. We have light in the night. It's nighttime in America. Oh, even though there's lights on, my friend, in this church building, you go outside and the sun's shining, it's still nighttime. People love, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, but yet the Bible says he gives light in the night. Notice what else it says here, if you would. In verse 40, the Bible said, the people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He gave them flesh and the bread of heaven. In verse 41, the Bible says, he opened the rock, and the waters gushed out, and they ran in the dry places like a river. Here, this rock that's spoken of in Psalms is speaking about his body. He said, I want you to notice his body was opened up. The Bible says in verse 41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran in the dry places like a river. Here, my friend, Psalms is repeating a story for us in Exodus. And the psalmist is saying, I remember when God covered us like the cloud, my friend. He gave us light in the night and he fed us with the quails and the bread from heaven. And that rock was open. And out of that rock came the living water. And that water that satisfied our longing souls, my friend. I want you to notice that Christ's body was broken for us. Look here, if you would, in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. We'll take our story from Exodus chapter 17 tonight. And I want you to see these portions of scriptures. Well, the Word of God says for us here in Exodus chapter 17. Remember what we just read in Psalms. Here. The psalmist was rehearsing, reflecting back to what God's done for him. How he fed him in the wilderness with bread. He fed him in the wilderness with meat. How in the wilderness there was thirsting to death, and he smote the rock, and the rock poured forth water. Notice here in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And in verse 4, the Bible says that Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Here's a story that's going on this morning tonight, my friend. Here, Christ said, I want you to notice this bread is my body. And my body has been broken for the church. My body has been broken for y'all that's been redeemed. My body is broken for the world. And my friend, as you think about this, it brings your mind back to the smitten rock in Exodus chapter 17. Here, Israel, God's people, was in the wilderness. And they only had an 11-day journey. An 11-day journey in the wilderness took 40 years. An 11-day journey. Can you imagine that, church? God's giving you something, and it's only going to take 11 days, but it took them 40 days to accomplish what God's given them to do. He's going to send them out to Canaan, the promised land. And Canaan is not a type and picture of heaven. Canaan is a type and picture of the victorious Christian life. And God says, hey, if you get on a 7 days journey and you do what I command you to do, then you'll go to Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of promise, a land of victorious Christian life, my friend. There was still wars in Canaan. There are still battles in Canaan. There are still fights in Canaan. But God says, hey, in Canaan, I give you my promise, hey, that no enemy shall prevail against you. An 11-day journey took 40 years. 40 years, thousands upon thousands of people died because they didn't seek God's face. Here they was in the wilderness, and they chided with Moses. They went against the man of God and said, hey, you're going to leave us out here in the wilderness of thirst to death? It's better for us to be in Egypt where we had water, where we had food. We also had to work for the world and be engaged in the world and do what the world wanted us to do. But hey, Moses, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die. And Moses said, Lord, what did you have me to do? These people's at the point of stoning me. These people is at the point of taking my own life. God, what should I do? And God says, go before them and take the elders of the church and thy rod that you got in your hand, and I will be a rock for you. You shall smite the rock. Out come water, my friend. Notice what the word of God says here for us. In verse 5, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the rivers, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. My friend, this rock is a picture of the body of Christ. My friend, when Moses stood upon the rock, he took that rod in his hand, and I believe with all of his might, he smote that rock, and that rock burst open. That rock split open, and out of the rock come water, and that water was able to get them drank, my friend. And the people never did thirst to death. Their cattle and children never did die in the wilderness because of thirst, because that rock was open. That rock tonight is the body of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there, but I'll prove it to you. Let me read this one verse to you. In 1 Corinthians, write it down somewhere so you can go back to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what the word of God says here, if you would, in verse 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Here it's talking about that spiritual drink that comes from heaven. He fed them with quails. He fed them with bread from heaven. And now he's given them that heavenly water to drink of. And here Moses took that rod and smote that rock, and out come water. And in the New Testament, the Bible says that rock was Christ. So in the wilderness, Christ gave his people drink. My friend, when we was lost in the world, when we was in the wilderness, out of God's will, Christ's body was broken to give us that ever-living water, to give us that water that satisfies our thirst. My friend, I've been in many places, I've done many things, but I never has experienced anything like the salvation that Christ gives that can satisfy the longing soul, that can satisfy to the uttermost, my friend. Here, Christ gave him that living water that come out of the rock. And here in Psalms, we have it rehearsed back to us. He said, I fed you with quails, I fed you with the bread of heaven, and then out of the rock come water, my friend, in a dry place you had water to drink. I want us to look at his body tonight, how his body was broken. His body was broken by man. Turn, if you would, to Psalms 22. As you turn to Psalm 22, I want you to notice this is a picture of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Here it talks about Jesus Christ in Psalm 22. As a shepherd, as he went to give his life for the sheep. In Psalm 22, it talks about the good shepherd. The good shepherd guards the sheep and protects the sheep. In Psalms 24, it talks about the great shepherd who's coming back one day for the sheep. Look here in Psalms 22, if you will, in verse 6. Here's a point of view from Christ. Here is Christ on the cross of Calvary, and he's looking out of his eyes, and this is what he saw in Psalm 22, verse 6. The Bible says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach upon men and despised of the people. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips, they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb and didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. And I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Here Christ is on the cross of Calvary. And you know what he's saying to himself? He's saying to God, he said, God, don't be far from me, because you're the only one that can help me. My friend, sometimes the world can't help you. Sometimes church members can't help you. Sometimes your pastor can't help you. Sometimes the only one that can help you, the only one that can be there for you, the only one that can do what needs to be done is God. And here Christ is on his cross, and he looks out of his eyes and said, hey, there's none to help me, God. Please don't go far. Well, it'd be a good prayer for all of us to pray. God, don't go far. I'm going to need you today. Don't go far. My wife calls me sometimes. I get up in the morning and go in there and shave and get ready. I start putting my clothes on, and she notices when I slide my shoes on, she automatically asks me, honey, you going somewhere? I say, yeah. And she said, darling, where are you going? I say, I'm going to church, or I'm going to work, or I'm going to school. I'm going somewheres. And sometimes I reply, do you need me today? You know what she'll say? She said, well, just keep your cell phone close to you because I might need you. My friend, we might not need Jesus, but we do need Jesus. My wife says, I might need you today. I wanted you to know, we might need Jesus, but we do need Jesus. It's not a might. It's not, I might need you today, Lord, but it's a must. God, I must have you today. I do need you today. Here, Christ was looking out. He said, there's none to help. In verse 12, notice what it says. Many bulls has compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan has beset me around. Here he said these strong bulls, these masculine bulls from Bashan, the strongest work animal there is, this mighty bull. It seems like they're circling across and they're waiting to stab their horn in me. They're waiting to trample me underfoot. His body was broken. Notice what it says here in verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths. As a ravening and a roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it's melted in the midst of my bowels. Here Christ says, I'm on the cross. These people that I've given my life for is surrounding me like bulls of Bashan. He said, I want you to notice something. My bones is out of joints. He said, all my bones is out of joints. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. In verse 15, it says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Here Jesus said, hey, my body is broken. My body is out of joint. My body is fragile, like a dried up piece of clay that you can drop on the cement and it shatters to a million pieces. He said, I want you to notice my body's in that type of shape. His body was broken. In verse 16, the Bible says, for dogs has compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Here Christ says, I want you to notice, they pierced my hands and pierced my feet. Now I'm nailed to the cross of Calvary. I'm looking out and there's no one to help, and everybody seems to be against me, and my body is so frail, my body is so broken, my bones is out of joint. I feel like a dried up piece of clay, and I can even see my bones protruding through my skin. He said, I can look down, I can see my ribs, I can look down and see my bones. They're staring back at me. Well, it's not a pretty picture on the cross, is it? When Jesus is getting crucified, his body was broken. Notice what else it says here. In verse 18, the Bible says, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This vesture was a coat Jesus wore. I wish I could see something like that. But this coat was unique, Brother Jeff. It didn't have any seams in it. I don't know how you sew a piece of fabric together and have no seams. But you can read it in the New Testament. He had a coat that had no seams. It was just one piece of fabric. And here, these Roman soldiers was casting lots for his vesture. They was casting lots for that coat, my friend. Hey, they stood beside the door of heaven, but they got their minds so caught up in the world that they missed, my friend, they missed the most important thing. They got so caught up in getting that coat, getting that varmint, getting that garment, that they missed Jesus Christ. I preached a message one time years ago, the coat that cost too much. They was wanting to cast lots for the coat, when they should have been caring about their souls. I want you to notice his body was broken for you. The Bible says here in verse 19, be not thou far from me, O Lord. All my strength has thee to help me. Here Christ's body was broken for you. Broken for us. Broken for me. He said, I'm going to give you this bread. And in this bread, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to break it. And I'm going to give it to you. And this bread represents the body. the body that was broken for Christ. And the Old Testament illustration was that rock that Moses struck with his rod, and that rock split open. And my friend, the Bible says that that water come out, and some Bible commentaries say that represents the blood of Christ, how the blood of Christ is all sufficient, but it also represents the Holy Spirit of God, how he sent us another comforter, a comforter, my friend, that will lead us and guide us in all truth. Here, I want you to notice that rock and that bread was broken. His body was broken for me and you tonight. He says, this do in remembrance of me. What should we remember about Jesus? His body was broken. No one ever suffered like Jesus. My friend, there's been many people that's been crucified. I believe even Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. He didn't want to be crucified right side up. He didn't want to be crucified like his Savior. So he got crucified upside down. There's been many people that have been whipped with a cat of nine tails. There's been many people that has nails driven in their hands and nails driven in their feet on the cross. But no one's ever suffered like Jesus, because he suffered our sin debt for us. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteous of God in him. When he was on the cross at Calvary, he said, oh, Father in heaven, don't go far from me. He said, there's nobody that's caring for me. There's nobody here to help me. I see all my bones. My bones are staring at me. My bones is out of joint. My body is frail. My body is not what it should be. And my friend, during the day, I believe at 12 o'clock, had God allowed the sin of the whole world to be poured upon his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ looked into heaven and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see how his body was broken? His body was broken by man. Why should we remember Jesus? Because we put him on the cross of Calvary. Because he shed his blood for me and you. Because his body was broken for us. Why should we be so sincere when we go to somebody's house and knock on somebody's door and reach in our pockets and give them a gospel tract? Because that gospel tract tells them about the body of Jesus that was broken so they can be saved. Why should we be so adamant, so sincere about being faithful to God's house, my friend? Because God's body, his Son's body, Jesus Christ's body was broken for me and you. His body was broken for you. For you. Not only was his body broken, but his body was bruised. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, this is one verse I'm trying to put in my mind that I can quote from memory. But let's look here, if you would, in Psalm 53, verse 8. Notice what the Bible says. Not only was his body broken, but his body was bruised. Isaiah chapter 53, I mean. Isaiah chapter 53, we'll look at verse 8 together. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. The Bible says, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Our Lord and Savior, he lived a perfect life, ladies and gentlemen. Our Savior, there was never one thing wrong with him. Our Savior got angry, but he sinned not. As he went into the Father's house, he went into the temple to worship. He saw them money, them people who was just after money. They were selling doves and selling animals for a sacrifice. He took a cord and made knots in it and made a whip out of it. And he drove out those money changers, my friend. He said, my Father's house should be a house of prayer. If we ever get caught up in anything else, that's why we don't have barbecue chicken sales. That's why we don't have yard sales. That's why we don't have a car wash. And that's why we don't have things to sell here at this church, because it's not a place to get money. It's a place to call my Father's house. It's a place to pray and get serious with the Lord. And here he says, I want you to notice something. For my people was he stricken, and no deceit was found in his mouth. In verse 10, notice what it says. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Here the Bible said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord. We put him on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ's love for us kept him on the cross of Calvary. But it pleased the Lord to take our sins and put them on his Son. His body was broken His body was bruised by his own Father in heaven. Here, God Almighty, he put our sins, he put our iniquity, he put our filth, he put our scum, he put our evil, he put all of our dirty and no good for nothing fleshly lust upon his only Son, Jesus Christ, so Christ can die for our sins, so Christ can pay the full payment, he can satisfy God, he can please God, my friend, with the precious blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. Here the Bible says that he, my friend, I believe it is here, and the Bible says in verse 8, the Bible says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was hung on the cross of Calvary and died for our transgressions. The Bible says here in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Here, I can imagine this, my friend. Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. And about 12 o'clock, the world became night. A perfect picture of hell. Here, the world became darkness of blackness forever. Here, the man couldn't see his own hand in front of his face. And Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. One thief was on this side. He was screaming and cursing the world and cursing God and using all kind of profane language, my friend. And then on the other side of Jesus, there's one thief. He was calling out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, remember me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. And our God, our Savior, was standing in the middle and didn't say a word. You want to know what a picture of hell is? When people screaming out and cursing God and having no care about nothing. And another person screaming out and asking the Lord for help and asking the Lord for mercy and asking the Lord for another chance. And my friend, the reply comes back silent because God's not listening. Well, it's a bad day when God's not listening, ain't it? Here, one was screaming out. Christ was looking out. He said, my body's been broken. My body been bruised. And we're here when Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe God in heaven was looking down, smiling, because his Son was becoming sin so we could be saved. His Son became sin so we could be set free from the wages of sin. And not only was his body broken, my friend, the Bible says if we see him, we have no desire to look upon him. If you can see Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary here in Psalm 53, the Bible says we have no desire to even fasten our eyes upon him, our wonderful, beautiful Savior, our Lord and Jesus Christ, the one that saved us, the one that redeemed us. If we can see him on his cross, we have no desire to even look upon him. His body was broken by man. His body was bruised by God. His own Father in heaven bruised his body. And here Jesus said, hey, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. But it's a serious thing to take the Lord's Supper. Not only was his body broken, not only was his body beaten, but now, now, beloved, his body's beautiful. He's not on the cross of Calvary no more. He's not standing nailed to the cross of Calvary. I appreciate the artists who draws the pictures. I don't appreciate pictures of Jesus because nobody knows how Jesus looked. They always draw him with long hair, and he never had long hair. But I do appreciate the fact that sometimes they take a scarlet piece of cloth and cover his nakedness. But there on the cross of Calvary, if you read it, our Christ was exposed to the world. His shame was for the world to see. And if we can see him, we have no desire to look upon him. And that whole time, God in heaven was bruising his body. But now, beloved, his body's beautiful. He's got a glorified body. Look here, if you would, in the book of Revelations, chapter 1. Revelations, chapter 1. Notice what the Word of God says here. If you can find that book with me, if you will. Revelation chapter 1 is, his body was broken by man. His body was broken for man. His body was bruised by God. But now, beloved, he's got a beautiful body. It says here in Romans chapter 1, as John on the Isle of Patmos, my friend, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard a voice and he looked up and he saw the Savior. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. Here's someone that's speaking out to John, and he's dressed with a garment down to his foot. I believe that should speak to our hearts tonight about covering up our bodies. It also says this for us in verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, and if it had been burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Here it gives you a description of how he looks. In verse 16, the Bible says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. You want to see a picture of Jesus? I'll show you a picture of Jesus. It's not in them pictures that man draws on a piece of paper and stick on a wall. If you want to see a real picture of Jesus, you go outside tomorrow about 12 o'clock and you look at the sun. My friend, that's a picture of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was standing like the strength of the sun. The brightest part of the day, when you glaze upon the sun, you can't look at it too long. My friend, you can't stare at it too long. It'll hurt your eyes. It'll make you go blind. Hey, my friend, if we can see the beauty of Christ today, if we can see Jesus Christ face to face, he will blind our physical eyes because there's no sin in him, because he's a holy, 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 righteous, and just God. Here John said, I saw my Savior, and he wasn't on the cross of Calvary. He wasn't still in the tomb. He's risen from the grave. He's alive to make intercession for us. I looked at him, and his hairs was white like wool. He had a long garment on him. I saw his eyes as a flame of fire. I saw his feet as fine brass, and I saw him in the strength of the sun. And it looks just so amazing when we feast our eyes upon Jesus. All of that. I want you to notice what it says here in Revelation chapter 5. What happens when we see Jesus? Remember, beloved, he said his body was broken for you. His body was bruised for you. And today he's got a glorified body like we'll have one day. If you'll listen to me for just a minute, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that glorified body. I'm ready for all the medicines to be gone. I'm ready for all the aches and pains. 29 years old, Brother Mac, and already having aches and pains. He's going to get better when I get older, right? No. He's no encouragement there. Nobody to help me. I'm all by myself. It's not going to get better, folks. In fact, your life, your pain, your suffering is going to get worse and worse. You're going to have more doctor visits. You're going to go to more graveside funerals. You're going to be in the hospital more and more times as you go on in this life. And you say, why does bad things happen? Because it's preparing us for a place called heaven. And when we get to heaven one day, it's going to be so beautiful and so majestic and so wonderful, my friend. We won't have one thought about leaving. And by the way, you can't leave anyway. We're stuck there for all eternity. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, here's what happened. The Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard, I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb from ever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. My friend, I want you to notice, this is true worship here. His body was broken for us. His body was bruised for us. But now his body is beautiful. And these four beasts and these 24 elders and all us that are saved by God's grace, we're going to kneel down one day and say, blessings and honor and glory and power belongs unto God forever. Amen and amen. My friend, his body was broken for salvation. His body was bruised by God for salvation. And now his body's beautiful. And one day, as a child of God, we're going to receive a body like his, a glorified body, a body that does not remind us of sin, a body that does not remind us of our past, a body that never is going to get worn out, a body that never has any aches or pains or bruises or any kind of problems with it. And Jesus said, hey, this do in remembrance of me. I want you to remember, hey, my body was broken for you and my body was bruised for you. But hey, hallelujah, thanks be to God. His body rose up out of the grave and he's got a glorified body now. And he's sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. And one day we hear the toot of the horn and we look up into the clouds and we see our Savior and he'll say, hey, come up hither. And the dead of Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remaining shall be caught together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. The Bible says this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? My friend, the grave is going to lose its hold on death. Death is going to lose its sting. And we're going to go up to be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what he says? This, what we're going to do right here in just a few minutes, is in remembrance of me. How my body was broken and my blood was shed. It's interesting. He gave that juice to his disciples and he said, hey, drink, eat. He said, eat all of it. He said, Brother Jeff, drink all of it. Hey, I believe it took all the blood of Jesus Christ to save the world. And then you know what he says? He said, hey, I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's house. It speaks about the blood. It speaks about the body. It speaks about the blessed hope that Christ is coming again to take us home to be with him. And one day we will sit down and sup with Jesus. We have all heard the story. Old timers, you know what they used to do with that cup of coffee? Brother Steve, that was too hot to drink. They had a cup of coffee on a saucer. And they take that cup of coffee and they pour a little bit out on a saucer. And they set the cup to the side and take that saucer, Brother Mac, you know, and suck the coffee up. You know what Jesus said he'd do? He said he'd take that cup of that fruit of the vine and pour it out in the saucer. And he said, I'll sup with you and you'll sup with me. And he said, one day in heaven we'll have fellowship. And he said, you'll be on one side. And I'll be on the other side, fellowshipping, supping, looking into the eyes of Jesus. And then and only then will we know how much God truly loves us. And he said, one day I'll sup with you. But I can't wait till that day when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus, supping with our Savior, loving his wonderful life. What's a blessing, ain't it? His body was broken. His body was bruised. But he's not on the cross. I'm going to read this one verse to you. And then we'll close in prayer. It says here in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Find that for me if you will. I'm going to give you time to find it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 20. Here the body was already smitten. The rock was already smitten once. And I brought forth water. For some reason, God's people got thirsty again. So they come to Moses, and Moses went to God, and God says, hey, here's what you need to do. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron and thy brothers, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them the water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. I want you to notice something, beloved. One smitten rock is enough. One sacrifice was enough. Christ was crucified one time, and that's all it's going to ever take to save a soul from a place called hell. When they wanted water again, God told Moses, hey, you go to the rock and speak to it. You don't have to smite it. You don't have to strike it. You don't have to crucify it again. Moses, you just speak to it, and they'll give you whatever you want. His body was crucified one time. And beloved, that's enough. That's enough. Father, we thank you once again for your love, for your grace, for your compassion. And one day we'll be able to kneel down before thee, and we'll be able to worship you. And we'll be able to say, worthy is he who deserves blessings and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Lord, help our hearts tonight as we take this Lord's Supper in remembrance of you and what you've done for us. Lord, we love you.